Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen, Volume 1, Days 29 to 32, and Volume 2, Days 29 to 31. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen, Volume 1, Day 29. Every experience in life is beneficial. Everything in your life is useful to God. He allows in His wisdom what He could easily prevent by His power. Every single thing in your life is for your development. Everything is about you being morphed into the likeness of Jesus. It's about your faith increasing. It's about the presence of God increasing. It's about your peace increasing. It's about your rest and your joy. It's about your power increasing. It's about your relationship growing deeper. It's about a deeper understanding of God. It's about increasing wisdom coming into your heart and life and making a difference. Every single thing in your life right now is useful to God. He doesn't waste a thing. So if you want to abide, you have to abide in that revelation that everything is useful. Everything is for you. So when you don't abide, you actually think everything is against you. Everything is for you. Even the worst of things can be for you. In the difficult things, we learn how to fight. We learn how to wait. We learn how to be with God. We learn how to worship. We learn how to increase our thanksgiving in every situation. Everything is useful. The most devastating things are usually the most useful. Everything is about you becoming more of who you want to be and who God knows you are. God always knows what's coming. God is always present, future, in how He sees you. You have two relationships with God, one in the present and one in the future that's coming towards you. So God always relates to you in two places. There is always a better version of you coming. That is why you can trust Him. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen, Volume 1, Day 30. Abiding in God improves our prayers. The more intimate I am in a relationship, the more confident I am in my security. The more I know that I am loved, the foremost object of my lover's affection, the more relaxed I am. Even though life has its struggles and altercations, knowing that love will never be withheld or withdrawn enables me to endure hardship. I am not alone. All too often, my prayers were asking God to bless me in some way. My prayers were little more than selfish requests that God do something for me or mine. Many times I asked God to rescue us from medical malady, financial distress, and tragedy. These kinds of prayers began to dissipate as I embraced the love of God more by becoming more intimate with Him. We have experienced moments when we could finish our lover's sentences or thoughts. We have made a suggestion to do something at the exact moment when the other is thinking the same thing. Some of our pleasures have been moments in which we have brought a gift to our lover which delighted them. So it is with our prayers to God. We do not need to ask Him for protection. He will always do that. We actually don't need to ask Him for anything or to do anything. He always has our best interest at heart. He simply wants us to talk to Him to share what is happening in our life. And we can trust Him to help us through our calamity and distress of any sort. So rather than asking God to take away the very trials that will draw you closer to Him and deepen your peace, simply ask God to reveal His purpose in them for you. Agree with God's plan for you and embrace an improved quality of life. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen, Volume 1, Day 31. Simple, spontaneous prayers. Spend the remainder of your life only in worshiping God. He requires no greater matters of us. A little remembrance of Him from time to time, and a little adoration. Sometimes to pray for His grace, sometimes just offer Him your sufferings, and sometimes to return Him thanks for the favors He has given you, and still gives you, in the midst of your troubles. Console yourself with Him the oftenest you can. Lift up your heart to Him at your meals, And when you are in company, the least little remembrance will always be pleasing to him. I consider myself as the most wretched of men. I am full of faults, flaws, and weaknesses, and have committed all sorts of crimes against my king. In deep regret, I confess all my wickedness to him. I ask his forgiveness. I abandon myself in his hands, that he may do what he pleases with me. My king is full of mercy and goodness. Far from chastising me, he embraces me with love. He makes me eat at his table. He serves me with his own hands and gives me the key to his treasures. He converses and delights himself with me incessantly in thousands of ways, and he treats me in all respects as his favorite. In this way, I consider myself continually in his presence. That was a direct quote from Brother Lawrence's prayers. Now please join me in this prayer for us. Father, I ask that you take all of these things which you have gathered together into this volume and use them in the life of each reader as you did in my life. May we all pursue a constant awareness of your presence within us. May we become so madly in love with you that all who observe us will be awestruck by our obvious love for each other. May our constant awareness of your presence energize our every thought and action, such that those near us feel your love for them flowing mightily in their direction. And may it become on earth as it is in heaven, in every place we walk from now until we meet you face to face. Amen. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen. Volume 1, Day 32, a collection of sayings in small signs. One is, the measure of my loneliness and insecurity is in reverse proportion to my awareness of the presence of God. I can only be lonely when I forget that someone's with me. I can only be insecure when I don't trust God or think he's gone. So the more I keep God in my awareness, the greater I will feel his presence and therefore no sense of loneliness, and his security and therefore no insecurity, which would lead to fear. Another sign says, to most people, God is an inference, not a reality. He is a deduction from the evidence which they have considered adequate, but he remains personally unknown to the individual. A lot of believers in a lot of evangelical churches are in that place where they have probably heard the facts about God and read the Bible, and logically we could infer or conclude that God is a reality. We can deduce that from the evidence of scriptures and history. But if we don't really plug into him personally and intimately in friendship or best friends forever or most significant other, we miss out on the entire purpose of the salvation of God. And the third sign on that 32nd day is something I heard from a local pastor years ago as he left the pulpit and went to the door to greet visitors. The comfort of God is wrapped in my release of my control over my life and the lives of others. Now, the comfort of God is also the peace of God. So you get to replace the word comfort with peace. The peace of God is wrapped in my release of my control. If I want peace, I need to release my control over myself and everyone around me. We get into the greatest trouble when we try to control others. It's bad enough that we can't control ourselves. But we don't need to, because we can relax in God's arms and be wrapped in his arms and just let go of whatever we're struggling with and trying to manage or fix ourselves. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen. Volume 2, Day 29. What we value most. In an 8th grade public school classroom a short time ago, a student asked me if I could tell him something about life that would be useful after he had finished his education. It seemed to be a question beyond his age, so I asked the entire class if they wanted to hear what I would say. A resounding yes was expressed by 30 students in a cacophony. I believe God must have inspired this profound answer with only 5 minutes remaining. I asked the class, what one thing in life do you want to have more than anything else? Give me a single word. The clamorous response was unintelligible, so I asked each one individually. 27 out of 30 responded with love, family, friendship, relationship, and so forth. Only three responded with either fortune or fame. I suggested that those three wanted riches and fame so that they could buy friends. So what we all want most is to be accepted by others just as we are, with no changes. I further explained that if we will give to others the unconditional acceptance which we ourselves desire, we will have fewer arguments and likely no wars. I later realized that this is the key to the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You need to realize that you want people just to accept you, so do that for them. Relationship treasures, whether we admit it or not, are the most valuable of all treasures. As opposed to material things and heroes which do not respond to our affections, relationships always produce a return on investment. The more you love, the more you are loved. Another way to view this journey to intimacy is to live loved and live loving others. He who would have friends must show himself friendly, and to be sure, he or she who would be loved must be loving toward others. It is a simple matter of planting and harvesting what we sow. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen. Volume 2, Day 30. The Reason to Believe. Most Christians suffer much guilt, shame, and fear, despite the fact that we have been saved by grace. It is all too common for Christians to believe that they are constantly sinning and needing to confess their sins in order to be clean before God. Unfortunately, this is a gross contradiction to our claims to be saved by grace. Our cleanness is only due to our faith in the Son of God and His personal substitution of penalty on our behalf. The first chapter of 1 John is a statement of how we can know that we are born again. The ninth verse is unfortunately taught to mean that we must continually confess our most recent sins in order to be clean. That presupposes that we must help Jesus with our cleanness. What an affront to His excruciating and humiliating death naked on a cross. Jesus either paid it all or He paid for nothing. Your cleanness is not yours, ever. It is His cleanness given to you. Christ's payment for our sin, the separation from God in death, and His subsequent resurrection to a new life captivated the hearts of the first believers. This irrefutable evidence of God's unconditional love and receiving it by faith provided complete release and freedom from guilt, shame, and fear. So compelling was this freedom that thousands of Christians were willing to face martyrdom for their faith in Christ. The first Christians not only fell in love with God, but also persisted in the journey, abandoned to intimacy with God. They lived and died knowing that Christ had risen from the dead and they had risen with Him. If ye then be risen with Christ, that word if is not an if of uncertainty. The intent of the word is since you are then raised with Christ. Paul declared in Romans 6:4, Ephesians 2:6-7, and elsewhere that Christ's resurrection applied to every believer as well. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen. Volume 2, Day 31. God is three and God is one. Some people have difficulty with the concept of the Trinity. Another way to express this is a tri-unity. However, it is not essential at all to believe in what some theologians agree is God in a Trinity. The important thing is to realize the equality in spirit of the three, or maybe two, persons of God. God is referred to as the Father. God has also begotten or formed out of Himself what Scripture refers to as the Son. And the Son has the exact same DNA as His Father. That's why He's God exactly. Yet even though they are two separate beings, they have the same essence, or spirit, actually the same personality. Some theologians refer to the Holy Spirit as a third and separate being which also possesses every trait of divinity. Again, this is not a necessary belief in the essentials of salvation. What makes two persons one in holy matrimony is a unity of spirit and purpose. Likewise, the Spirit of the Father and the Son must be in unity of purpose and desire. Although the partners in a human marriage have separate and distinct functions and roles within the relationship, unity of purpose is essential to a harmonious experience of relationship. So regardless of whether you believe the God of the Bible is a Trinity or three completely separate beings, they all have the same purpose and desire. The Holy Spirit definitely exists. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit within the Christ in, or Christian, that enables Christ-likeness to become a reality in them. It is the Holy Spirit within us that maintains the relationship between us and God. Devotions read by Bob Clarkson.